Isaiah 41, starting in verse number 9, he says, Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small. Thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue calleth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, God, Israel, will not forsake them. Back there in verse number 10, he says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Be not dismayed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And I come to you again now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me with your Spirit here this afternoon. I pray, Lord, you use me here. Give me your words. Give me clear thoughts, clear focus on what you would have me to preach here and say here tonight, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for your presence here amongst us all. I pray for everything that's done here today will be for your glory, your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, no doubt we're living in some uncertain times. We're living in some fearful times and some times where things, we don't really know how things are going to know what's going to happen an hour from now. We don't know what's going to happen when we leave this place. We don't know what's going to happen tonight, or we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We just don't know. Times are uncertain, but there is a different element to that as we go into the election and everything. But the truth of the matter is this. Times have always been tough. Times have always been hard no matter what, and times have always been hard for Christians. Job says in Job 14:1, he says, Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. God's people have always had tough times. There's always been rough times. Christians, we're not immune from the troubles of this world. Right? When we get saved, God doesn't promise us that we get saved and we won't have any more problems. We won't have any more issues. That's not the case that we see. But fortunately, as a Christian, we don't have to fear those things. We don't have to fear those things that the world throws at us, and we don't have to fear the world. The Bible says here in verse 10, and he says a couple other places too, but he says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hey, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So the spirit of fear is devilish. It's satanic. It's from the devil. God does not give us the spirit of fear. That comes from the devil. The day before Jesus was crucified, He comforted His disciples. In John chapter 14, you might remember there. In John chapter 14, in verse number 1, He says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now the context is that Jesus is telling them that He's going to go to the cross. Yeah, He's going to go to the cross of Calvary, and He's going to die on the cross, and He's going to shed His blood, and He's going to pay the sin debt for the whole world. He's going to die for the sins of everybody. And then up there at the end of chapter 13, Peter says, Hey, Well, I want to go with you. Jesus says, you can't come with me. Where I'm going, you can't go. And Peter, you know what happens? Peter denies. Jesus tells him that he's going to deny the Lord three times. All right? Three times. And so you get into chapter 14 and he's saying, hey, don't worry about that. Let not your heart be troubled. I am your Lord. I am your God. I am the same one that's been with you all these 3 years or so. And I'm the one that's been with you. Just keep the faith. Keep the faith. Don't give up. Believe on me. I am the Son of God. I am not only your friend, but I am the Redeemer. I am the Savior. I am the Messiah. Right? And I'm going to deliver you from all of your trouble. But before I can do that, I have to go to the cross. That's kind of the thing going there. The mansion, there's a mansion waiting for me right now. It's not being built. They're already built. He says, in my Father's house, all mansions, all right? He had to go to the cross of Calvary to prepare that place for me. But you know what's happened sometimes in this life? We get bogged down, don't we? We get bogged down because we get too much of the world in us. The Bible says we're to be full of the Spirit. We're to be full of the Spirit. We're not to be full of the world. And in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father are not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, we let too much of that world in. Too much of that world in. And it was E.L. Moody, he used that quote. He would say, what we need to do before we can even pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us is we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will empty us of all the world and all the junk that we put into our souls and into our hearts and into our minds. And if we would get all of that stuff out of us, then the Holy Spirit could come in and fill us with His power and use us to be a better witness. And when we're going out, He can use us to preach the gospel to people. He can use us because it's all His power. It's not our power. Right? Salvation is of the power of God. It's not our power. And so when we go out and we preach and we talk to people and we witness to people, we need to be full of the Spirit, not full of the world. But sometimes what happens, God's people let the lust of this world get too much of us. We let the devil strip us of our promises from God. And the next thing you know, Christians have lost the excitement of being a Christian. You have lost the zeal in your Christian life, and they don't have that anymore. They don't have that. They once had it, but they don't have it anymore. The devotion toward God is gone, and maybe that's you here today. Maybe that's someone here over the internet. That zeal is just gone, and you've a point in your Christian life where you've just lost that zeal. You tried to recover, you tried to get back into the game, and it just seems to never happen. It just seems to continuously bog you down. That's a problem that we all face from time to time. It can happen. We can all get there. You know, we still have this flesh on us. And flesh is worldly. And we can still get those temptations. We can still get those bombardments. But the Bible says, be not dismayed. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Be not dismayed. If you remember in Psalm 51, David had sinned with Bathsheba, and he after he repented of his sin, he asked God to restore unto him the joy of salvation. Remember that? The joy of his salvation, not for salvation because he didn't lose his salvation. He asked him to restore the joy of his salvation, the happiness, that joy, that zeal that he had lost. So today I'm just going to bring bring to remembrance a few things to help us get that zeal back. Number one, I want you to see this here. I want you to remember what it was like to be lost. Remember what it was like to be lost. Over in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, "Then Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of the hand the Lord brought you out from this place." In Deuteronomy 5:15, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. And the Lord thy God brought thee thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm." Deuteronomy 24:22, "And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman. He was a bondman in the land of Egypt. Moses here, and there's many other verses, is commanding the Israelites to remember what it was like in Egypt. Remember what it was like when you were in bondage. Remember what it was like when you was a servant to sin. Remember what it was like when you were a bondman. You had no freedom. Sin ruled and controlled your life. You were a slave and you had no freedom. Remember what it was like to be lost. Remember. And remember God's deliverance of what brought you. He brought you out of slavery and He brought you out of the land of Egypt. You see, in the Bible, Egypt it symbolizes sin and it symbolizes the world. And so this here symbolizes our deliverance from sin. It symbolizes our deliverance from the world. Remember, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We were delivered from the world. We were delivered from sin. Hey, all I'm saying is, do you remember what it was like to be lost? Do you remember what the Lord saved you from? Have you forgotten that time of your salvation? The time when there was no hope, there was no peace, there was no joy. Have you forgotten what it was like to remember being lost? If we think back and we remember about those times when we were lost, we need to remember what we were saved out of. You know, I remember what I was saved out of, the bars and that type of a lifestyle. And I can never go back to that type of a lifestyle. But before that happened, before salvation, I was a slave. Satan had me in the bondage of his sin. And I try to reform and I try to do good and get, but no, you're just right back in it. You're just right back in it, but there's no hope of that deliverance. You're just by the desires of your flesh, and you're bound by the desires of sin in your life, and you're just bound by the desires of the devil. No matter how much you wanted or how much you tried, you just couldn't get free from the wicked one. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, before salvation, your father was the devil. Your father was the devil, and our sinful behavior and our evil works prove that before salvation, the devil, he was the one we were worshiping. He was the one that we were living for, not the Lord. You see, every person is a creation of God. Every single person is a creation of God. God created everything. He created man, He created woman, He created you, and every person is a creation of God. But every person is not a child of God until you become born again. Until you get born again. In John chapter 3, Jesus talks about it with Nicodemus. He says, except a man born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again into God's family, into God's kingdom. Before that, we're a child of the devil. And I live like it. Live like it. Right? Because my father was the devil. But hey, all I'm saying is this. If you're going through a time and you've lost the zeal, the oomph of your salvation, hey, we just need to remember what you were like before salvation. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look there at verse number 1, starting in verse number 1. Just need to remember what it was like before salvation. Remember what it was like to be lost. We were in bondage. Ephesians chapter 2, there in verse 1. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in our sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the minds, and were by nature, there you go, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Why? Because the devil was our father. We were pleasing our flesh. We were pleasing our father. We were pleasing him. Before salvation, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we didn't even know it. We didn't even realize it. We did what we wanted to do. We went where we wanted to go. We did things to please our flesh, to fulfill the lust of our flesh, and we had nothing else to live for. We had nothing else to live for, and we sought as much as the world as we could get and take in. Our lives were not God-centered at that time. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. That was... We remember that. Hey, we're lacking zeal in our life. Hey, we remember that. Perhaps that's you. Maybe you've forgotten what it was like before salvation. But you may have also forgotten what you have in Christ Jesus. Think about this morning. We looked at the cross and all God went through and all Jesus went through on that cross to pour out His blood for us, His sacrifice. Brings me to number two. We got to remember His sacrifice. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but number two, we got to remember His sacrifice. If you would, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who with His own self bare our sins and His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Hey, we need to remember the price of redemption, the price that He paid for us. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, He says, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." The shedding of Jesus Christ's blood is what paid the redemptive price. That price was paid. His blood shed 2,000 years ago is when that happened. 2,000 years ago, God sent His only begotten Son to die on that cross of Calvary. He was buried and He rose again the third day. On that cross, He paid the ultimate sacrifice. Do you remember His sacrifice? Do you go to the cross? Do you remember what He did for you? Because remember, He literally died in my place and in your place. He literally died with all of our sins on Him that day. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who do no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." It's all about in Him. His sacrifice, what He did, I could never be good enough. I used to think I was. I used to think if I when I died, I'd stand before God and you know, He'd have that scale out there and He'd be piling up all my good works. Because, you know, I was a good person. All those good works, man, they're just coming out and then every once in a while there'd be a bad work there. And eventually the scale would kind of tip and eventually, you know, there would always be one more good work in there to pile up on there that, hey, God would let me into heaven. But nowhere is that in the Bible. Nowhere is that in the Bible. Nowhere is it about any good works. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross, because we're not good. This cross bridges the gap for us to get back to heaven. We know that one day we all take our last breath here. One day will be the end, unless Jesus comes back before that time. But one day we'll all take our last breath here on earth. And the only thing that will matter that day is what you did with Jesus. It won't matter where you worked. It won't matter how much money you made. It won't matter how big a house you had or what kind of car you had. The only thing that will matter is what you did with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all is a free gift. You paid the price already. All you have to do is receive Him as your Savior. But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Have you believed on His name? Have you been born again? There's nothing for you to do but believe on Him. There was a young man that was at a revival service, and after the revival service, he came up to the evangelist that was there, and he's getting ready to leave, and he's putting everything away for the night. And the young man had left the invitation because he was under extreme conviction. And so he walked out and left, and he returned at the end of the service, and he went to this evangelist, and he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And the evangelist didn't hardly look up at him, but he says, you're too late, son." He says, "I'm sorry, son, you're too late." And the boy says, Surely that can't be. Surely I'm not too late. You're still here. Would you please tell me what I could do to be saved?" And the evangelist stopped what he was doing, and he looked at him, and he said, "I'm sorry, son. It's just too late." He said, "Jesus Christ did everything necessary for you to be saved 2,000 years ago, and all you have to do is receive Him. Receive Him, His finished work for you on the cross for salvation." Have you done that? Hey, if you're struggling, you lost your zeal today, you know you're saved, you know you're on your way to heaven, but have you thought about the sacrifice He made lately? Have you thought about the sacrifice He poured out on the cross of Calvary for you? Let me give you another one here. When we seem to lose that zeal, when we seem to lose that zeal in our life, be not dismayed. But number three, remember to look up. It's a good thing to look up, you know. I can't tell you how many times I'll be out and about and I'll see people on their cell phones. How they do this, I don't know. But they do two thumbs when their heads are down, doing two thumbs, texting or doing whatever they're doing, just walking. There was a guy at the intersection I saw not that long ago. I thought it was at a red light. I thought he was just going to keep coming out into the highway, into the streets. I'm like, I was about ready to honk my horn at him. I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's just, I'm like, man, it's a good idea to look up. Right? Look up. Hey, look up. Right? With all this stuff going on in the world, the turmoil, the uncertainty, the world that we're living in, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy for things to happen. But we got to remember to look up. We got to remember to look up. Don't let the troubles of this world get you down. In Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Do you need any other promises of God? He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No matter what it is, we just need to remember to look up. We need to remember to look up and praise Him. And we're not to fear these things that's going on around us. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. Oh, but preacher, it's so bad. You don't understand. You don't understand. It's so bad. Christ already conquered it. Whatever it is, He already paid the price for it. He's already conquered it. All you got to do is look up. In Psalm 121, verse 2, He says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." And He says, My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." Hey, help is in the Lord. Help isn't in any of those other things. It's not on Facebook, and it's not in Twitter, and it's not in Snapchat, and it's not on your screen time. The devil wants to keep you distracted on all that. He wants to keep your minds focused on all those things, focused on all those time wasters. Right, so that way, when you leave this world, you'll be like, "Man, what did I do with my life? My life was spent on screen time." Screen time. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the hand of the throne of God." You say, what is Jesus doing today? He's at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. He's praying for us. He is praying for to. He's praying for me. He's praying that we will get encouraged and that we will get that and that we will regain that zeal and desire to go out and praise Him and worship Him and live our lives for Him. Whatever life, however much time we have left in this world, we just need to get that zeal back and just go and worship Him. God never promised us that we would have a life without any sorrows. God said sorrows are going to come. Pain is going to come. Trials, tribulations, all those things are going to come. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Because I've already overcome it. What is it? What is it that's got your zeal today? Discouragement? Did somebody laugh at you? Somebody be mean to you? Is it discouragement? Is it depression? Is it just a lack of remembering the sacrifice? Is it just a lack of remembering what it was like for salvation? Is it just a lack of remembering to look up, to quit looking on the world and the things around us and just look up? Just look up. He's already conquered everything. He's already overcome the world. We need to be looking up. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and look at verses 28 through 30 there. You're going through a hard time. You lost your zeal. Matthew 11, verse 28. Says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy, and I will give you rest." Are you looking for rest today? Don't look outside in the world. He says, "Come unto me. Come unto Jesus, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is a shelter in the time of storm. He is a refuge. He is a shelter. And He is the one that we need to remember, look up to. Remember to look up to. Do not turn to these other things in the world. We just need to be faithful and continue to serve Him. Continue to keep our eyes on Jesus. Remember, Peter got out of the boat and walked on water, literally really happened, all because he had his eyes on Jesus. He was focused on Jesus. His whole everything was on Jesus, and that allowed him to do that. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, what happened? He sank. He began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." We just need to be faithful. We just need to be faithful however much time we have left. Just be faithful to living for Him, to serving Him, And that devil's not going to quit. The devil quit. He's going to try to convince us, "Oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, take it easy. Take it easy in your latter days. Relax. Take it easy." Right? The point in serving God, you did good before. You don't need to do anything now. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The Lord is my helper. I need to look up. I need to look up. Nothing else is going to be my helper. The Lord is my helper. His yoke is easy. Everything in this life that could come at me or alter my course or distract me or get me down, or cause me to lose my zeal is temporary. Everything is temporary. It's not forever. It is temporary. And if I remember what it was like before salvation, if I remember the sacrifice that He poured out for me, and if I remember to look up, He's right there waiting. He's right there waiting. Because He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Let me give you a fourth one here. Number four, we need to remember to repent and turn back to Jesus. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Remember to repent and turn back to Jesus. in chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 is a letter to the church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." But verse number 4, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Because thou hast left thy first love, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent." Now here we have the believers at the church of Ephesus. They lost their first love. Jesus Christ was no longer first in their lives, and ball games had taken the place of Jesus. Vacations had taken the place of Jesus. Relaxation time, work time, all these and many more that we put first in our lives have taken the place of Jesus. Is Jesus first in your life? Is Jesus first here at Gilead Baptist Church? Is He first in our worship? Is He first in our worship? You know, worship worship doesn't start at 11 o'clock and 2:30 or at 9:45. Worship's going to start well before you even come to church. The night before, two nights before, three nights before, and preparing your heart. It's going to be preparing your heart, searching your heart for any sin, praying, reading the Scriptures, right? That's going to start before church. We have to prepare our hearts for church, right? Is this first in our music? Is He first in our youth? Is He first in our fellowship with our words, with... Remember, He says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." So He hears our conversations. So what are our conversations like? We need to make sure He's first in the Baptist Church, first in our lives. I mean, is He first in our dress? I mean, you come into the house of the Lord. Are we presenting ourselves like He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Do we dress like it? Do we give it our best? I mean, we have a good church. We have King James Bible, right? We have music, and the ladies dressed like ladies. Amen. 1 Timothy 2:9, that adorn themselves in this apparel. Right? We look the part, but is Jesus our first love? Is Jesus your first love? The church here, they had lost their first love. They had lost the love of Jesus, and now they had started putting other affairs and other things above Jesus Christ. Does Jesus come first in your life? All I'm simply saying is if we've lost that zeal, maybe we've replaced Jesus with something else in our lives. We need to check that out. Is our fellowship with Jesus good? Are we walking with Him like we once did? Are we attached to Him like we once were? Or are we attached to something else? Are we attached to something else? You say, "Oh, preacher, I come to church. I read my Bible. I pray. I do all those things." But you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and is He first in everything that you do, and everything that you say, and everything that you have, or have you lost that sensitivity to Christ? Have you lost that sensitivity to Jesus, and you've lost that zeal for the Lord? Is this your first love? Is Jesus your first love? Are you sharing Jesus with others? Are you getting the gospel out like when you were first saved? Were you getting the gospel out like you did then, and you had a burden for family members and for friends and for neighbors and for co-workers? Is Jesus first in your life? Jesus first in your life. We got the tracts. We bought plenty of tracts. I'm going to buy more. All right, get them out. Everybody in this area and in this world needs Jesus. Everybody needs the gospel. Hey, I would say if we're not getting the gospel out, Gilead Baptist Church, lost our faith. That was when the last thing Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Right? Go. Oh, preach the gospel. Get it out. See folks saved. Do you remember what it was like to be lost? Do you remember what it was like before you had salvation? And do you remember His sacrifice? The Bible says here that we read, it says, if you've lost your first love, you need to repent. That word repent, it means admitting that I'm not good. It means admitting that I was wrong. It means to turn around. It means to change direction. It's something that happens in the heart and in the mind. And it is not just a change in life. It's not a reform. It is a change in mind about God and sin that results in a changed life. Repent. He says, repent from what you've been putting in front of Jesus, what you've been putting above Jesus. He says, repent and turn back to me. Acts 20:21 says, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you lost your first love? Repent and turn back to Jesus. And you know what will happen? You'll renew that sweet spirit. You'll renew that sweet spirit the same as David in Psalm 51:12. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. You see, at that moment, David got joy back. He got that zeal back. He got that fervor back. He got that excitement back. He was ready to go do it again. He was ready to go out and serve the Lord and do what He had for him to do. But do you remember life before salvation? Do you remember His sacrifice? Do you remember to look up? And do you remember to repent and turn back to Christ? And I'll close with this. If you turn to Galatians chapter 6, where we were this morning. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse number 9. So if you've lost some zeal, some excitement, some this is what we need to remember, right? Galatians 6:9. You there? Everybody there? It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. Life's got you down. Life's got a little bit of hardness to it. Don't quit. Regain zeal. Regain that fervorness. And the Bible gives us another promise in 1 John 7:9. So the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us all of our sin, all sin. He'll forgive us all of it. We just need to repent and turn back to Him. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We don't want to quit. We don't want to quit now because there's going to be a time of reaping. There's going to be a time of reaping. And you may be tired. You may be weary, but don't quit. The devil wants you to quit. Do you remember life before salvation? Do you remember His sacrifice on Calvary? Do you remember to look up in this life? Look up to Jesus. And remember to repent and turn back to Christ. Let's pray.